I wonder if anybody here who may have been watching television a few decades ago has some recollection of something. Do you recall if there used to be a commercial that began with a man being slapped on the face, and then he would look right at the camera and say, "Thanks, I needed that." There was. Do you remember the product? Skin bracer. Thanks, I needed that. Catching, because of course that's not the response that one would ever expect to receive from somebody who had received a corrective slap, whether physical or verbal. Normally, when someone is confronted in some way, the automatic response is one of seeking retaliation. We don't tend to respond favorably to admonitory measures. The very mention of certain words tends to make us put up the defenses, the walls, the dukes. Words like rebuke and correction and admonish and discipline and chastise. Consider with me this morning a couple of those words: discipline, chastise, admonition. At first, those sound like they could be anything but positive words. We tend to think of them in negative terms. But when one thinks about it, there is actually a very positive dimension to such things, as they seek to steer us away from things that might be harmful for us, spiritually in particular. This is a point made by the scriptures in places such as Hebrews 12, where the Lord says, speaking through the writer, "Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to children? My son, do not despise the discipline of the Lord, nor lose heart when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and chastises every son whom he receives." Last week, Prof. John Lau reminded us of how we have been adopted into the family of God and how we are now children of the Heavenly Father through faith in his Son. And as such, we learn from a section such as this in Hebrews, we can expect a school year such as this to be filled with its own level of discipline and chastising. That is because, first of all, we are very well aware of our sinful flesh. We know that during this year we will be guilty of transgressing God's holy law. Whatever period of time we happen to fill, those are times that will be filled with activities that are against God's will, thereby necessitating admonition. But there's another reason why we can expect any period of time to have its share of discipline and chastising. And that's because God loves us. Listen again to that amazing revelation from our text. "The one whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and chastises every son he receives." We can expect to be chastised, disciplined, because we continue to be loved. That's one of the hardest things for us to see and appreciate. Almost without fail, our automatic response to discipline is a negative one, one of resistance. The same flesh that prompts us to sin in the first place leads us to react to chastising and discipline with such shoot-from-the-hip thoughts as, "Just get out of my way, leave me alone, you don't understand." Let's start with God himself. It's possible, isn't it, and it happens from time to time, that we hear God speaking to us through his word about things in our lives that are unacceptable to him, and we, by instinct, bristle at such words of correction. Let's consider those whom the Lord has placed over us in some type of authoritative role. When supervisors or principals or deans or presidents point out something that we are doing that is inconsistent with God's will, how often don't we rush to the conclusion that they're being insensitive and unkind? Closer yet, think about those friends whom the Lord has given to us. When our friends manage to muster the courage needed to point out that something in our life is not in accord with God's will, how easily don't we allow that to become a wedge that actually weakens the relationship? All of these familiar responses and reactions to discipline stem from the misconception that these are somehow loveless acts. But our text reminds us of the very opposite. God, of course, is the flawless example of love-filled admonition. His entire motive for disciplining us and chastising us is to alert us to the dangers that lurk in any activity that is in contrast and conflict with his will. He wants to steer us away from those things that might do us spiritual harm and damage. Far from wanting to ruin our lives, God wants to keep our lives from being ruined. Hebrews provides this explanation. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we gave them honor. Shall we not much more be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Our Heavenly Father admonishes us in order to help us. In Revelation, he declares, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Human representatives who have authority over us by God's positioning of them in their position can't claim to have the same flawless, divine level of love. Human tempers can easily flare and decibel levels rise unnecessarily. But Christian love does remain the basis for chastising and discipline in such instances. Nathan was showing love for David when he admonished him about his affair with Bathsheba, and David recognized it as such and found relief in the discipline or in the corrective measure. So also, those who have authority over us are doing so out of love. And who can question the love behind the admonition of a Christian friend? As a matter of fact, it's proof of a Christian's love when he or she points out to us something in our lives that is in conflict with God's will. Solomon provided this helpful summary. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. This school year will certainly have its share of discipline and chastising of various sorts, and that can be viewed as a negative thing, I suppose, because it underscores the fact that we recognize we have a sinful nature that is going to disobey. But it's also a positive thing, because when such things take place, it is evidence of the fact that we are being loved. Whether God is speaking to us directly or through his authorities placed in positions over us or through Christian acquaintances, may the Spirit enable us to see it as such, to see it as evidence of our being loved, and to reply, "Thanks, I needed that." We sing this morning hymn 416, stanzas 1, 3, and 4.